When a program or project is either about to be launched, changed, or moved, there are usually public hearings for those who will be directly, and that's the key word, directly impacted to voice their concerns, their support, ask questions as well. And for those unable to make those public hearings, there is a period of time that's called the public comment period. That's when you can submit to officials overseeing that program or project the comments that you would normally would try to present at a public hearing that you couldn't make. Now, it was recently discovered many of the public comments regarding the Keystone XL pipeline were coming from individuals very distant from the location of the project. Here with the details is the Vice President of the Consumer Energy Alliance. We say good morning to Michael Whiteley. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good to have you here. And let me give you the website so you can learn more about this and there are other points of information and focus, consumerenergyalliance.org. And just for a quick background, with the Keystone Pipeline, it's a 1,179-mile, 36-inch diameter crude oil pipeline. It begins in Canada, and it goes south to Steel City, Nebraska, and then it would transport oil, at least hypothetically, as far down as to the Gulf Coast. And as I said, Michael, just like with any project like this, there is an opportunity for the public to voice concerns because a lot of times these comments do provide some ideas or points that maybe the people involved with the project might have missed or overlooked and become enlightenment and just a matter of free exchange of ideas. But when it came to the public comment period for the Keystone XL pipeline, what was a little unusual about the comments that were received?
You raise a really good point, and we feel that the public, comment and the public involvement in any project like Keystone XL is tremendously important, which is why we at Consumer Energy Alliance, have spent a significant amount of time and effort, and over the course of the permitting process have raised, generated about, over 1.5 million different comments from Americans weighing in and saying that this is a tremendously important process. We were surprised when we had heard from the environmental community that they had generated 2 million different comments, they had said, from folks opposing the pipeline, and were a little bit dismayed with recent reports where they said that over half of those 900,000 comments or so are coming in from overseas folks, and certainly having people from overseas weigh in on important matters here in America is not necessarily a bad thing. But the particular question that the State Department is looking at is whether this project is in the national interest. And it's a very specific question that they're asking because according to an executive order that is in place and governs the permitting process for these pipelines, the question the State Department needs to ask is whether or not the pipeline is in the national interest. And if it is in the national interest, then they will go ahead and grant the permit. And we feel like that is really something that we want to have the American voice take a look at in terms of what the State Department considers. There's a very good chance that a large number of those folks from overseas are going to take a different tack in terms of whether this is good for America or not. They don't really care. They just want to say that this is good or bad for the rest of the world. It's a uniquely American determination for, frankly, a uniquely American project.
The leader of this invasion of public comments, I guess we can call it, is a group known as AVAZ, A-V-A-A-Z. And here's a quote from their campaign director, Emma Ruby Sachs, who basically is saying that this decision is really a referendum on U.S. climate leadership as a whole. She said, of course, playing off of John Kerry's recent reference to climate change as a weapon of mass destruction. In a speech last month, if Ruby Sachs speaking, if climate change is a weapon of mass destruction, Keystone is the fuse. Our members were saying it's your national interest to lead on climate. That doesn't really address that's more of an abstract. It doesn't address anything concrete regarding the Keystone XL pipeline, which is typically what the focus of a public comment period is supposed to be about.
Well, you're absolutely right, and a thing that it doesn't do is address any of the points that were made in the State Department's evaluation of this pipeline. The State Department has done 5 different environmental reviews, and the last environmental review that came out a couple months ago, determined that this will be the safest pipeline that will ever be built and that it will not increase carbon emissions. In fact, it found that it will actually decrease carbon emissions when you compare it to other alternative pathways to getting the oil into those Houston refineries. So for the environmental community from around the world to decry the carbon emissions that are going to be associated with the project, it's very clear that they did not actually read the State Department evaluation, which said that it would have lower carbon emissions than the other alternatives.
So with Michael Whiteley, who is the Vice President of the Consumer Energy Alliance, consumerenergyalliance.org on the web, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas, and along with the State Department coming out with positive statements regarding the Keystone XL pipeline, we have to make mention, too, that the news report of the revelation of the foreign source of the public comments didn't come from Washington Examiner, didn't come from Fox News, actually came from the Washington Post.
Yeah, you know, and it's very interesting because you've got a number of sources, including the Washington Post, that have really taken a very objective look at the pipeline and all the different job implications, environmental implications, and been very balanced on this, which is not always the case on energy and environmental issues. You know, I think if you go back to taking a look at whether this is in the American interest, the national interest for the United States, you know, the fact that the Washington Post and ABC News just released a poll earlier this week, which found 67% of all Americans support the pipeline, you know, and the fact that we've worked with our allies here in the United States to generate more than 1 million American comments coming into it. So I do think there is a clear national consensus in support of this pipeline, and, you know, that in order to try and generate media and stories that look at it the other way, the environmental community really has crossed a line in terms of submitting all of these different foreign comments in and not really taking credit or saying that they're coming from overseas, but just lumping them into the State Department process.
Now, we know that the Obama administration is pretty much against the Keystone XL pipeline, and when you look at the fact that, first of all, TransCanada has bent over backwards, they've agreed to an additional 57 safety requirements, which I don't think any other pipeline project has ever been called on to adhere to. You look at the fact, too, that Keystone XL would provide U.S. refineries with the lowball estimate, 800,000 barrels of crude oil each day, increasing the overall supply of domestic oil, how that would not just only create cheaper gas prices, which just about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we saw one day here in New Jersey, just in one day, because some of the refineries fell into disrepair in our region, the price of gas went up 10 cents, that this would create a need for refineries. It would create a need for workers. And therefore, you know, technically, you could say Keystone XL is also a job creator, not just a domestic energy creator.
Well, it is absolutely a job creator. You know, the State Department report actually said that it would create and support 42,000 American jobs, which we think is terribly important. And when you consider that the oil that this will carry down to the U.S. refineries from Canadian and U.S. sources is going to run anywhere from $35 to $50 a barrel cheaper than the oil that we're importing from overseas right now, you're absolutely right that the impact on gasoline is going to be fairly dramatic. And again, you know, this is not our evaluation of it. This is the Obama administration. They had a report that was issued by the Department of Energy that said that Keystone XL would dramatically reduce gasoline prices. So, you know, when you look at it on the environmental impact, and they say that State Department again concluded that this will be the safest pipeline ever built in the United States, the fact that it will not have a significant, environmental impact and it won't have any detrimental impact in terms of carbon emissions, you lump in 42,000 jobs, you look at lower gasoline prices, you look at the fact that this is a privately funded project. They're not seeking any federal funds. They're not seeking any federal assistance other than a green light. You know, we really have a hard time finding any reason to oppose the project.
30 seconds left here. Do you think, is there any fingerprints of, again, because the Obama administration is against the pipeline project with so much fervor, are there fingerprints on the actions of Havas, or is it just a coincidence that an environmental group came through with probably one of the strongest efforts in a public comment period than any group has, at least by my knowledge, ever tried to do?
Well, I think that the environmental community is extraordinarily well-funded. They're very organized. They have billionaires that are giving them significant amounts of money. And so it's not surprising that they would be able to generate this type of activity. You know, the thing that we're looking at right now is that, you know, we were able to just reach out to our folks, to Americans all over, you know, 50 states and ask them if they would be willing to support the pipeline. We had over 500,000 people report in and say yes, that they would, and we generated those comments for them and turned those in. And other allies of the pipeline turned in over 1 million comments in support as well. You know, in terms of the administration, you know, we are going to remain cautiously optimistic that when the president makes a decision here, that he is going to grant this permit just because it is so clearly in the national interest.
Well, we've just seen with this comment period, the more you add at the numbers, the more you have to work on your division, because that's when you get to the facts. And this is one of those examples. We've been joined this morning by the vice president of the Consumer Energy Alliance. On the web, it's consumerenergyalliance.org. Michael Whiteley, thanks for being here this morning.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity. Have a great day.